Polly asks, a tall kid with blonde hair. Yeah, coach. Their questions come at me in a flurry, some asking out of concern, other voices on the cusp of an outburst. I take a deep breath. Guys, just give me a minute. I run my hand through my hair. Look, I get why you're mad. You have every right to be. If any of you want to talk one-on-one, let me know and we can meet up after practice or do some fishing this weekend and get it all worked out, okay? The energy in the room stills, lowering a few notches. I breathe a little easier. You all give me 100% every single night on this court. I continue. Some of you have done that now for 4 years, and I resigned and didn't respect you enough to give you a heads up. I was wrong to do that. Holding out my hands, Jason passes me a ball. I flip him a smile and he returns it. I love basketball, I say, passing the ball between my hands. It's good competition, a fun way to pass some time. But you know what else it is? What it teaches? Teamwork? Jason says quietly, unsure if it was a rhetorical question. Exactly. It teaches us to rely on the guys around you. So when James has a bad night and can't hit the broadside of a barn, hey, he interjects to the laughs of his friends. When that happens, I smile. We have Dustin or Polly or Matt that can pick up the slack. It's not just you individually out there taking on the opponent. It's all of you. I bounce the ball a few times, trying to get my thoughts together when the silence is broken by Jason. You know, coach, he says, clearing his throat. There aren't just 15 of us, there's 17. There's Reynolds and you too. I smile at my starting forward. Whatever happened to you, we would have been there for you too, just like on the court. If you were missing your shots, we would have had your back too, Jason says. But you stopped playing, Dustin challenges, clearly the most affected by my departure. You just walked off the team. And I was wrong, I say, turning to face him. I got all caught up in myself and forgot about my team. I forgot a lot of things. Sometimes, I pull my gaze to the floor. Sometimes it's easier to run off and try to deal with things on your own, because you don't want people to see you struggle. But all that does is, it lets your team down. Dustin chimes in. Yeah, I shrug, looking at him pointedly. It lets your team down and a lot of people down on the notion that I was doing them a favor. Guys, I say, looking across the line of them, I let you down. I hope you'll accept my apology. Of course, Jason says immediately. Looking down the row of teenaged faces, they all nod their heads. Teams only work when we respect each other, when we are open with each other when we struggle. This team doesn't stop being a team when the whistle blows. I forgot that. Let's all learn from my mistakes. I glance at Dustin out of the corner of my eye. He toes the black line on the floor with his sneaker before looking up at Reynolds. Hey, man, I'm sorry. Reynolds grabs his shoulder and shakes it. It's okay. It's been a rough week around here. Are you back, coach? Jason asks. Looking at Reynolds, he waits for me to respond. I shrug and he laughs. Let's hope he's back. Reynolds sighs, sticking his whistle in his mouth. I'm too old for this shit. You boys are killing me. A series of laughs fills the gym, and I sigh in relief. This is what I do, who I am, and it feels fucking amazing to be back and remembering it. Looks like you've been turned over to me. Get a drink and let's see what kind of shape you're in, I tell them. They all take off to the coolers, except Dustin. His brows pulled together, he takes the ball from my hands. You good, coach? Getting there. I wink. Feels better being back here, though, I'll tell you that. He nods and chews his bottom lip. I saw Mrs. Witt today. Did you? I ask, trying not to let the fact that the mention of her threw me a little. She said she hoped you'd be here tonight. Yeah, well, here I am. The ball goes between his hands. His nervous tell that something's the matter. What's wrong, Dustin? He takes a deep breath. I got into some trouble last week, coach. What happened? Nothing really. I mean, I didn't do anything. I was accused of sending a few emails to a teacher that I didn't send. I wouldn't do that, he says, shaking his head. The principal wouldn't even look into it, even when I told him that teacher has it in for me. Just suspended me for 3 days. What? I say, my jaw tensing. Are you still suspended? When was this? I curse myself for not being there for him. Dustin wouldn't do that. It's not the kind of kid he is. And if he gets suspended, it'll ruin his scholarship chances, which means his entire future will be gone. He'll end up like me. It was last week, but relax, he says, smiling at the look of panic on my face. Mrs. Witt saw me in the parking lot. She was coming to the high school for an IT class or something, and she asked why I wasn't in class. I told her I was leaving because of what happened, and she took my elbow and marched me back into the office. My chest swells at the thought that my wife did this for Dustin. This is my forever, the woman I love. The little pit bull shoved into this angelic body that fights for what she wants. She's ready to throw the towel in on us. What's that say about me? My shoulders slump and he notices. Don't worry, he says, misreading my reaction. Mrs. Wick got them to look at the server and realize it wasn't me. I'm still on the team, coach. Good. That's good, buddy. Yeah, so? He takes a step back to give me more room. I'll just go get warmed back up, okay? I nod encouragingly, but my head isn't there. Neither is my heart. Both are back on County Road 211 in a little white house with black shutters.
Chapter 18. Elin. My bag hits the table with a smack. I wince, shaking my hand to give it back some life. My tote is overflowing with papers to grade and art pieces to put stickers on, and I'm dead tired. That's probably because I didn't sleep last night, and the 10 cups of coffee I guzzled today are wearing off, leaving me with a late afternoon slump. Damn, Ty. All day my mind wandered like the wind. It flowed from the past to memories of Ty, to the future and what it would be like without him. The latter rolls my stomach. It creates an inherent need to crouch in a corner and close my eyes and play dead, because that's what I feel when I think of life without him. Dead. Everything is just so muddled. Every part of my life is touched by Ty, wrapped around him, incorporated in him in some way, all the way back to junior high. Every memory I have, he's in it. It's his face I see when I'm scared. It's his voice I hear when I need comfort. It's his touch I crave when I feel lonely. I remember what Cord said. You realize you're doing to Ty the very same thing you're pissed at him for, right? Cord's insinuation rang through my head all day, poking me when I least expected it. Is that what I'm doing? Yes, I'm withholding information, but it's something he would have known if he hadn't left. That's different, I think. I head into my bedroom. I slip off my dress and boots from work and throw on a pair of sweats and a hoodie. It's all done on autopilot. My body goes through the motions while my head and heart have an argument of their own. My brain thinks I should be logical and fair and tell Ty about the miscarriage. My heart knows I can't make it through that conversation and feels the need to protect me. My mouth doesn't want to take sides and spill the wrong way. I'm scared. Plain and simple. When I enter the kitchen again, I see my phone blinking on the counter with a voice message.
Hello, Elin, it's Parker. I wanted to let you know that your husband was in the office this afternoon. He advised me he won't be cooperating with a divorce, should it go forward. I'm sure you know that, but I wanted to see if your mind had changed in any way. Please give me a call back tomorrow.
Ugh, I groan, dropping the phone onto the counter. Burying my head in my hands, I lean against the wall. Why do you have to be so damn stubborn? A smile touches my lips, even though I fight it. Something about him wanting to fight for us, for me, feels good, even though it would be easier if he would just let me go, let us end. A part of me deep in the shadows of my gut delights in the fact that he won't. Gravel crunches outside and I look out the window. Ty's truck is sitting behind my car and he's climbing out. My breath hitches in my throat. No matter how many times I've seen him in my life, he still makes it hard to breathe. He doesn't look towards the house. Instead, he walks around the back of his truck. I can hear him banging on something and the tailgate closing. I wait, but he doesn't come to the door. I wait still, but nothing. Slipping on a pair of rubber boots, I head outside. My heart thumps in my chest in a mixture of excitement and dread. Seeing him is going to make tonight a long, lonely night. Rounding the corner, I see him in the middle of the yard with a rake. There's a pile next to him of old clothes, and I stop in my tracks. He looks up but keeps raking, a little hint of a smile on his lips.
How was your day?
His shoulders flex under the brown thermal shirt as he works the rake back and forth. His thighs fill out his jeans, and I pray he doesn't turn around because I don't want to see his ass. Not in those jeans. Dear Lord.
What, cat got your tongue?
He teases, dropping the rake. He heads to the pile and grabs a pair of corduroy jeans we bought together at Goodwill almost 10 years ago. What are you doing, Ty?
What do you think I'm doing?
He ignores me and shoves leaves down the leg of the pants. I just watch with amazement that after everything that's happening, he's here, doing this, like we've done for the last decade, together. Finally, he looks up.
Are you gonna stand there, or are you gonna come over here and help me make this scarecrow?
I'm speechless. I shouldn't help him. I should make him leave. But I find myself walking across the lawn and grabbing the pants. I'm rewarded with a megawatt smile.
I think the rain that's supposed to come this weekend will put an end to the scarecrow days, so I figured we better get it up today before it's too late.
He says, working on the second leg. I watch him, my brows pulled together. Why are you doing this?
Because it's what we do,
he says, pulling rubber bands out of his pocket and fastening them around the leg holes. Ty, I protest as he takes the pants from me and hands me the shirt. You have to stop this.
Stop what?
Stop this! He rises and looks at me. Bits of broken leaves are splattered across his shirt and in his hair. I want to reach out and brush them off, touch his cheek, but I resist. Barely. You can't come by here anymore and do these things. They aren't our thing anymore.
We've been through this,
he mutters. His arms reach into the pile and he pulls up a heap of brown leaves, shoving them into the shirt with more force than necessary. I pull away. He sighs, releasing a breath that sounds like he's been holding it forever.
I'm not letting you walk away from me, Elon. If I have to spend the next 10 years winning you back, I will. I'm prepared to do that.
The sincerity in his eyes causes my bottom lip to tremble.
I promised you for better or worse, until death do us part. This is the worst part. I'm aiming for the better now.
Ty, the words are stolen by the look on his face.
Even if it takes me until the death part, I'll try. I love you, Elon. I'm going to remind you of that until you believe it.
It could take a long time, I say, my words kissed by a sniffle. I don't think your patience would last very long.
Probably not. So you should just give in now.
He laughs, pulling his hand away from the side of my face. He fills the shirt and then grabs a bale of straw and a pumpkin and builds the scarecrow by the road while I watch, lending a hand when I see he needs it. There's a calm between us, an ease rooted in a comfort between two people that has been built over a lifetime. This is something I won't have with anyone else. My cheeks heat as I realize he's watching me. He grins and I grin back without thinking.
What are we naming him this year?
He asks, tugging a hat over the top of the pumpkin. How about Dokken?
Dokken?
He laughs.
Where'd you get that?
A little girl in my class named her puppy that. It's just the first thing I thought of. I shrug.
Dokken it is. But take that off the potential baby name list. It definitely sounds like a dog's name.
He laughs easily. I look away.
Hey.
He says, nudging me with his shoulder.
Hey, I was kidding. If you like it, it can stay on the list. Maybe a middle name.
We're done here, I say, changing the subject and taking a step away from him. I'm going in. I've got a lot of papers to grade.
Need help?
I look at him and can't help but laugh. You are not coming inside and helping me grade papers.
You love how I help grade papers.
He laughs, wiggling his eyebrows. You are not coming in and...
Eating your pussy? That's how grading papers with me usually ends. And I do believe I get an A+.
Damn it, Ty! I say, turning away so he doesn't see my face. Go home!
I am home, beautiful.
I hate that I'm on the brink of breaking, that he makes me forget why I'm mad. Heading into the house, I hear him toss his things into the truck.
Want to go to dinner?
He asks. Nope, I call out over my shoulder.
Want me to make you dinner while you grade papers?
Nope.
Want me to have you for dinner?
I shake my head and turn to face him. My hand on my hip doesn't take away from the smile on my face. Ty, enough.
That wasn't a no.
You are impossible. I'm mad at you.
I figured that out. You can stop being mad now.
No, I can't.
Then think of how much fun it'll be being mad at me when I'm in the same house. You can be mean to me all day and night. It would be much more cathartic for you.
My laugh dances out of my mouth before I can stop it.
And think of the makeup sex when I convince you to stop being mad.
His eyes twinkle in the sunset.
But I'll tell you something, E. I don't think I can wait very long to get inside you again.
Stop, I breathe, watching him cut the distance between us in half. As much as I want to fight it, it just feels like it would take away more energy than I have. Plus, I like the playful smile on his face, and feeling the hole in my heart being filled a little. Softening quicker than I anticipated, I choose to give in. Just for a little while. It'll end in an argument anyway.
Can I take you to dinner?
He asks. Before I can talk myself out of it, I throw my hands up in the air and head towards the house. I'm going in to eat leftovers. You can come if you want.
Only if you come first.
He chuckles. I hear his footsteps behind me, and I smile all the way to the back door.
Ty. I follow her inside and into the kitchen. She never looks at me over her shoulder, never really acknowledges that I'm here. She does this every time she's mad. It's her version of the silent treatment, although she's not usually completely quiet. She'll answer questions with a word or two, but she's so easy to break. You can goad her right into a full-blown conversation. I've often thought she would choose another form of being pissed if she knew just how damn adorable she was like this. Slipping off her boots by the table, she heads to the sink to wash her hands. Just being in the same room with her, even if she's not looking or speaking to me, is pretty damn close to heaven. I figured the best way to go about this evening is to pretend everything is normal, that I've just come home from the mine and she's pissed I moved the thermostat. Be natural, normal, married. Opening the refrigerator, I'm pleasantly surprised to see a bottle of my favorite beer in the drawer on the bottom. She doesn't drink this, and I ponder the thought of why she kept it as I pop the tap. I catch her looking at me as I bring the bottle to my lips. She rolls her eyes, knowing what I'm thinking, and I laugh, nearly choking on the brew.
Move!
She huffs, bumping me with her hip. I step out of the way and watch her rummage through the fridge. So, what's for dinner?
I have taco meat in here from a couple of days ago,
she says, pulling out a plastic tub. It's not even Tuesday. She glares at me.
You are more than welcome to leave.
I smile back. Tacos are great any day of the week. Can I help?
Ugh.
She groans, marching by me. She goes about heating the meat in a skillet and getting out the toppings and shells. I just watch her work. She seems angry, but it's a front. The trimmer in her hand as she cuts the lettuce is her giveaway. She's trying to stay mad, but why? How's your class? I ask, sitting at the table.
Good.
Dustin said you got him out of some trouble last week.
He was just going to take it,
she says, looking at me over her shoulder.
He didn't do it, and they weren't going to look into it because they'd already tried and convicted him in their minds. But I marched him back in the office and had a sit-down with the principal. The tapes were reviewed, and his name was cleared.
One of the many reasons I love you. Her hand stills mid-chop. You know what we need? I ask, trying to keep her relaxed. A puppy.
We do not need a puppy, Ty.
Think about it. When I'm at work, it would keep you company. You could take it on your walks and... She turns around and leans against the counter.
We aren't getting...
A puppy. I cut her off. Let's run up to Terre Haute this weekend and check the pound.
Ty!
She whines, clearly frustrated. What, baby? Would you rather have a kitten? She tosses the knife on the counter and sighs.
This was a bad idea.
Well, I say, smirking. If you don't want a pet and want to go straight for the baby, I'm game to try. Just come over here. In a flash, her back is to me. Her shoulders are stiff, her spine ramrod straight. Without thinking, I get to my feet and cross the kitchen and stand behind her. What did I say? I ask, letting my hand rest on her shoulder. She nearly jumps at the contact.
Nothing.
Oh, I said something, but I don't know what. She blows out a breath and shakes my hand off her shoulder. Busying herself with dinner, she leaves me standing while she takes everything to the table. Our eyes never meet. Our bodies never touch. There's an awkwardness that's wedged itself between us that I can't budge. Only when she's sitting at the table does she look at me, still standing where she left me at the stove.
You coming?
She asks. I sit across from her and watch her make her plate. Elin, whatever I said, I'm sorry.
It's fine.
It's not fine. That much is clear, but I don't know why. I make a taco and take a bite, relishing in the taste of home-cooked food. I heard from Murphy, I tell her, breaking the silence. He said the word is the mine will be opening back up soon.
You aren't seriously considering going back to work there.
Her eyes are wide, the fork in her hand falling slowly to the table. What else am I supposed to do?
Apply at the power plant, the electric company, go back to school and teach.
She says hurriedly. I've applied to all those places. The plan has 2 slots open and 94 candidates. I have to be realistic. Reaching across the table, I place my hand on top of hers. She stares at them, her chest rising and falling.
You can't go back there.
She chokes out. Her words spear my heart. She cares. I knew she did, but to hear it encourages me. Somewhere through her anger, despite her filing for divorce, she still wants me. And maybe, just maybe, it's not buried as deep as I feared. Baby, listen to me. There's no other option to make that kind of money.
Life's not about money.
No, but there are bills to pay. I swallow hard. And we have a lot less money because of me. I have to be able to give you a decent life, and the best way for me to do that right now is the mine. If something else opens, fuck yeah, I'll take it. But we have to be real, E. I watch her beautiful face crease with worry, and while I secretly love it, I don't want to waste our night talking about work. They've not officially reopened anyway, I point out. So this is a discussion for another day. Let's talk about the puppy. She smiles.
No puppies.
Kittens?
They're pee stinks.
All right, I sigh, shoving away from the table. Babies it is. Standing abruptly, she swipes her plate from the table and dumps it in the trash.
I need to grade those papers.
Want me to help? She spins on her heels and gives me a look. No, really, I say. Do you want my help? I have nothing better to do and I can put them in stacks or something. A faint smile tickles her lips, but she fights it back. Pushing to my feet, I start her way. Much to my surprise, she doesn't back away or stop me. Not to press my luck, I stop inches from her. I don't want to leave. I want to pick her up and carry her into our bedroom and show her how much I love her. Brushing a lock of hair out of her face, I touch her for a moment longer than necessary, because I need it. I think she does too, maybe more than me. You really want me to leave? Her nod is almost non-existent. I swallow back all the words I really want to say. I'll go, but I don't want to.
I need you to,
she whispers, holding on to my wrist. Her words and actions are at odds, and it rips me apart. Why? I ask. Elin, something's going on with you, and I want to know what it is.
You know what it is,
she says, but it's not what she means. I can see the other reason, something darker, right behind her green eyes. Yet you're asking me to leave you again. Her gaze hits the floor. I lift her chin so she's looking at me. Please, tell me what's wrong. What are you hiding in there? She drags in a long, deep breath that shakes her chest. Her eyes grow wide, her hand clamping on my wrist.
I...
My phone rings in my pocket, and the sound shakes her out of the moment.
You should get that,
she says, clearing her throat. She releases my wrist and steps away from my touch. Growling, I pull the offender from my pocket and see Jiggs's name. It's your brother.
go,
she says, grabbing her bag off the floor beside the table. Her voice is clear now, the moment of truth far behind us.
I need to get to this anyway.
You sure you don't want to talk? With the bag on her shoulder, she turns on her heel. A look of resolution is stretched across her face.
I'm sure.
It's clear I'm not going to get anywhere now. Just dig myself in a deeper hole. I head for the door, but stop beside her. Not giving her a chance to object, I slide her hand against me and press a kiss to the top of her head. I love you. This bullshit is going to stop soon, one way or the other. My patience is running thin, Elin. So figure out how you're going to deal when I come home for good, because it's happening. And then I leave, the door squealing behind me.
Chapter 19. Elin. Hello? I squint against the late afternoon sun and toggle the phone against my ear. Where have you been? Hang on, I mumble, getting the phone situated before I pull out onto the highway. Okay, that's better. How are you, Linz? Oh, I'm good, just sitting over here, wondering why my best friend hasn't answered my calls in 2 freaking days. Just peachy. Rolling my eyes, I smile. I'm sorry, I just have had a lot going on and need some space to think. Space? From me? Sorry, my friend, you don't get that. I laugh, squeezing my car in between 2 trucks and barreling down the road towards my house. It's been a long day full of addition and the letters S and T. Of course, half of the kids in the class that had to bring something that started with a T brought a tie. And every time I said tie, T-I-E, I was thinking tie, T-Y. And my heart hurt a little. Or a lot. Definitely more than was fair. Things are just weird, I tell her. I have a lot on my mind. Jake said that Ty's been coming around to see you. I've seen him a couple of times, I admit. She sighs. Is that a good thing or a bad thing? I don't know. 1 minute I think one thing, and the next? Did he tell you where he went? Did he explain things? Yeah. She pauses and waits for me to continue. I don't. As much as I love her, Ty's problems are his to tell. I won't betray that, not even for her. So, she leads. So he explained it, and I understand. What's the holdup, then? She asks. I flip my turn signal on and make a left onto my road. I just want to make sure it's the right thing to do. I love him, and I know he loves me, but really, our problems aren't resolved. We're just kind of in limbo right this second. So you don't want to jump right back into it? Exactly. She takes a deep breath. Did you tell him about the baby? My chest squeezes. No, I haven't. It's going to break his heart, and it's going to be devastating to me to tell him. And really, I'm not sure if it matters. Of course it fucking matters, she says. I will always take your side in an argument publicly, but if you don't tell him about this, and soon, you are wrong, Elin. I fill my lungs with air and blow it out slowly. This is something I've been pondering, something I know is true. I need to tell him. I need to let him know the truth. He deserves it. I can't bring myself to bring it up. Tell me about the baby, I say, changing the subject. How do you feel? Gosh, I feel pretty good, actually, she nearly sings. I've been a little sick, but nothing I can complain about. I go to the doctor again in 2 weeks, and I think we'll be able to hear the heartbeat. I swallow past a lump in my throat. I'd like to go with you. I mean, if you don't mind. I'd love that, Elin. I'm pulling into my house, I say as I hook a right onto the driveway. Let's get together this weekend and have lunch. Sound good? Absolutely, and call me if you need anything, please. Whatever you're going through, you don't have to do it alone. She hesitates. You know what? Call me even if you don't need anything. Call me because I'm a needy friend, and you know I'll bitch if I don't hear your voice. I grab my bag off the passenger seat and head to the back door chuckling. I love you. I'll call you soon. Night, chickie. Popping the door open, I'm met with a chill. The air isn't warm like I expected after leaving it set on 74 degrees. I flip on lights, set my bag down, and check the thermostat. It's on, but not running. Oh, shit, I say out loud, looking at the ceiling. The furnace does this each start to winter. There's some trick to it that Ty figured out the second year we lived here. A trick I don't know. I eye the basement door on the other side of the kitchen. It mocks me with its hidden shadows and bugs and damp crevices. Shivering, I wonder if Jiggs could get it working or if I'm going to have to call my husband. My lip twitches at the thought of seeing him again, and I try to kick myself for it, but I don't. Wanting to see him is as natural to me as breathing or sleeping or craving soda. Slumping against the wall, I can feel my heart thumping against my ribs. A decision is going to have to be made. I've known it since he left after taco night. I'm going to have to either be firm and end this for good, or I'm going to have to tell him my truths and try to work this out. The latter is something I don't think I can survive. Taking a deep breath, I head through the kitchen and place my hands on the knob to the basement door. I can do this.
Ty. Ugh, I'm fucking beat. I toss my gloves in the back of the truck, looking over the bed at Jiggs. He laughs. I told you before we got here this morning that this was going to suck. Thanks, though, for the hookup today. My leg cramps, the muscles still not fully rehabilitated. It hurts like a motherfucker. Still, it's money I can give to Elon to put back in savings. I'll do it every day for the rest of my life if I have to. I want to if that means I can make things right. If I can get one step closer to having a full house and a family again. He said he didn't know how much longer he'd have to work for us, but if Murphy can get us back to mining in the next couple of weeks, it should work out fine. Ugh, let's fucking hope. Jiggs digs around in his lunchbox and pulls out a giant pickle. So, how's my sister? He asks, taking a snap off the cured cucumber. Watching you eat that is like watching you eat a dick. I can't. Fuck off, he laughs, swallowing. But he doesn't take another bite. Elin's... Elin. I shrug. I'm trying to see her without pushing her, because I'm scared as hell to go right back to screaming matches again. But fuck, Jiggs. I'm tired of not being home. I'm sick of not seeing her every day. You think she's coming around at all? I got papers in the mail when I went by Cord's at lunch. I laugh. Huh. I mean, not divorce papers. Just a set from Parker explaining the process and what he would suggest. So I guess not. He whistles between his teeth. Man, she'll be all right. Just give her a little space. Let her come to you. She... I'm cut off by my phone ringing. I grab it out of my pocket to see Elin's face. It's her. I grin, swiping the screen. Hey, E.
Hi,
she says, irritation thick in her voice.
What's the trick to the furnace?
The trick to the furnace? I laugh. Why? What's it doing?
That damn thing it does every winter. I have no idea what I'm looking at, and it's cold in here.
Want me to come fix it? I grin, looking at Jiggs. She sighs.
Just tell me how to fix it, and I'll do it. Or I'll call my brother.
But I was your first call. I like that. I laugh.
Forget it. I'll call Jiggs.
He's standing right here, and he knows nothing about furnaces. Right, Jiggs? I got nothing, Elon. He shouts as I hold the phone up in the air. See? I say. You better let me help you.
Ugh.
She yelps in the phone, making me laugh. Are you in the basement? I ask, trying to imagine her in the place she's deemed the scariest place on Earth.
Yes.
She whines. Don't look on the north windowsill. The spider that lives in that web is as big as my hand.
Oh, fuck you,
she says, her voice wavering. And the snake that lives...
Forget it!
She screams. Her feet pounding against the stairs leading to the kitchen has me laughing out loud. Elin, calm down. I was only kidding.
Just come fix it, please,
she begs as the basement door shuts and locks behind her. You don't have to ask me twice. Be there in a second. I give a quick salute to Jiggs and hop in my truck. Racing the 8.2 miles across town to the house, I get there in half the time it should take. Jogging to the back door, my breath billowing in front of me, I rap against the door quickly before pushing it open. She's standing in front of the stove, a sweater wrapped around her shoulders. Hey, I say, noticing how the sunlight streaming in from the window makes her look like she has a halo.
Hey.
She says, looking defeated. What's wrong? I ask. She shrugs, her shoulders slumping. You didn't want to call me, huh? I laugh. The sound eases her posture, and she stands straight and smiles.
No, but I'm freezing, so I don't have a choice.
Thank God for small favors. I toss the envelope from her attorney on the counter. You can have that. Turning to head to the basement door, I hear her pick up the envelope.
No, that's your copy to read.
She says from behind me. I already told you, I say, opening the door. I'm not participating in this madness. I leave her, jaw hanging wide, as I barrel down the rickety stairs and work my magic on the furnace. In less than 3 minutes, it's up and running. Elin cheers from the kitchen. Bounding back up the steps, her smiling face is waiting on me.
Ah, oh, thank you,
she says earnestly.
I know you didn't have to come over here and do that.
Of course I did. She frowns but doesn't argue. Progress. You know, I say, trying to figure out how to delay my inevitable departure. It's warmer outside than it is in here.
Hopefully it doesn't take long to heat up.
Let's go outside, I say, trying to hide the fact that I'm scheming ways to stay with her.
For what?
To not freeze to death. I say like she's silly and wrap my arm around the small of her back. She lets me guide her outside. She feels so good against my arm that I have half a notion to keep walking and walking until we're at the sea. The sky is a ripple of pinks and purples and oranges as it begins its drop over the horizon. And I tuck her into my side as we watch the colors bleed together.
Thank you for helping me,
she whispers, not taking her eyes off the sunset.
I was scared to call you.
Why would you be scared to call me?
I was afraid you wouldn't answer.
When she looks at me, her eyes are full of some unnamed emotion. It sparks a desire in me to fight whatever demon has put that look there. I lift her chin. Her skin is so soft under my touch. My thumb strokes her cheek as I gaze into her eyes. Never be scared to call me. Don't hesitate to ask me for what you need, what you want. I know I walked out, I say, gulping. But it wasn't walking out on you. And I will never do that to you again, I swear to God.
I know you won't.
What? I say in disbelief. I mean, you're right, I won't. But you know that? You believe me? She nods, turning her head to kiss my palm. Her lips tremble against the rough skin on my hand, her hand shaking ever so slightly as she holds it.
I do believe you,
she says softly.
But that doesn't fix everything.
I pull her into me, trying to put her, me, our life back together with my embrace. Her arms find my waist, and I hold her in the middle of the driveway, swaying back and forth in a moment I'll never, ever forget. The feeling of my world careening back into focus, into places it should be, nearly drops me to my knees with my girl in my arms.
I should go in,
she says, looking up at me. It's cold in there. She shrugs and I see her start to slip away from me again. Frantic, I struggle to find a way to stop it. Let's go for a drive, I suggest. She looks at me warily. It's just a drive, I promise. The house can warm up and then I'll drop you back off, if that's what you want. What can it hurt?
You won't try to make out with me or anything, right?
She teases.
Because I know that look in your eye, Tyler Witt.
Only if you ask. I wink, opening the door to my truck and watching her climb in. Before I shut it, I lean in and whisper into her ear. Hey, E.
Yeah?
Please ask.
Chapter 20. Elin. It's like your favorite sweater on a crisp winter day, or the smell of your grandmother's apple pie at Sunday dinner. It's walking into your childhood bedroom even though you haven't been there for 10 years, and knowing exactly where your possessions are because that's your space. That's your room. That's home. Being in Ty's truck as we drive out of town and hit a back road, dust flying off the tires as the asphalt turns into gravel, is the same thing. My heart finds a rhythm that's eluded me, my body releasing the rigidity that's stretched over my shoulders. I can breathe, here with him in this old truck. I glance over my shoulder. He has one hand on the steering wheel, the other on his thigh. His hair is a mussed-up mess, the dark locks sticking up everywhere. It's reminiscent of how it looks in the morning when he rolls out of bed, and I have a hard time keeping my hands to myself. Watching him get dressed and undressed used to be the best part of my day. The ice around my heart, the wall I've so carefully constructed, is crumbling. I feel it. As much as I want it to be there to protect me, I like the feeling of this. It's the warmth of being me, of being a part of a relationship that's a once-in-a-lifetime type of thing. Even though things have been rocky, this is my life. I know it. I feel it. I want it. He catches me checking him out and smiles, reaching across the console to take my hand in his. Flipping my hands over, he rubs his thumb across my palm and focuses his attention back on the road.
You want to know something?
He asks, his voice deep and crackly. Sure, I say, watching his eyes squint as he turns the truck up the lane to Moon Mountain, a hill that overlooks Duggar Lake. It's our favorite parking spot. One that we've used countless times since Ty got his license. I said no making out, I laugh, taking my hand away from his.
You did not. You asked if I was going to try, and I said not unless you ask. I'm hoping if I set the mood right, you'll ask.
He smirks. The truck hits the top of the hill just as the final rays of sunlight stream from the sky. The lake that the hill overlooks ripples in the breeze. The green cattle field surrounding it shining with the dew that's beginning to settle. It's so beautiful up here, I say, as Ty turns off the ignition. It's silent, absolutely still, and I pop open my door and hop out. The air is clean yet chilly, but I don't have time to take in the cold. Ty opens the tailgate and picks me up and sets me on it, settling between my legs with a hesitant smile on his lips.
You are so beautiful,
he says, stroking my cheek. Charmer? I giggle, unable to resist the handsome face in front of me. He laughs and takes his place beside me, his knee touching mine as our legs swing off the end.
Feels like we've done this a time or two,
he points out. Because we've done this a time or 100. So many memories up here. I look around the land below. I know what this looks like at dusk. Like now, and also as the morning sun rises behind me. I know what it looks like at midnight, when the world sleeps, and what it looks like at 6 a.m., when only a few trucks pass along the road below as people begin to come to life and head off for their day.
We've celebrated birthdays up here. Remember when you and Jiggs turned 21 and he decided he was going to try to swim that lake to celebrate?
Ty laughs. Yeah, in January, he almost got hypothermia. I remember. Or when Cord started a fire that one night after you won the basketball sectional, and it got away from him and almost burned that field.
I forgot about that.
Ty laughs.
I think he threw gas on that fire to start it. He really should have tried Boy Scouts as a kid or something.
What about, when my parents passed away and I couldn't stop crying? You brought me here then, remember? And let me just have my tears and screams away from everyone.
Yeah.
He says, nodding. He looks at me over his shoulder, his dark eyes peering at me.
Remember when we celebrated our first anniversary in this very spot? We were too poor to go to dinner, so we packed bologna and cheese sandwiches and came here instead.
My heart fills in my chest at the memory of our sandwiches and our cherry-flavored drinks and paper cups, the best we could do. You know, I say, I think that's my favorite anniversary.
Mine too.
He grins.
It was really simple then.
When did everything get so complicated, Ty? He shrugs, his face falling.
I don't know, but it sure as shit did.
The wedge that's been between us starts to slice its way down, parting us in an invisible trench. Sometimes it makes me feel safe, and I'm thankful for it. But now, I'm clamoring to make it go away. Ty?
Yeah?
What are we doing? His mouth falls. His eyes leaving mine and heading across the lake to some place, some memory, some thought I'm not privy to. He slips off the back of the truck and faces the lake for a long minute. He turns to me. He's resigned to a decision.
I tell the boys on my team that we don't quit,
he says, his tone steady.
I'm always reminding them that we set our eyes on a prize and we work our tails off until we get there. Regardless of how painful, even though it might hurt, we get to the finish line.
Sounds like good logic, I say, swallowing a lump that suddenly lodged in my throat.
It is, in theory. But I'm rethinking it now.
He shoves his hands in his pockets and squares his shoulders up to me.
Sometimes you have to let things go. Just because you start on a path, even if your balls to the wall at first, it doesn't mean you should stay on it. It's less quitting, I guess, and more adjusting. Moving on to the next thing you think you want.
He knows I'm dying for him to expound. That I'm terrified that he means he's decided my recent rhetoric is right. Even though that's what I've asked him to do. I can't bear to hear it come out of his mouth. He knows this, yet he doesn't go on. He waits for me to respond. With a shakier voice than I'd like, I give in. What are you moving on from now? Slowly, inch by inch, the corner of his mouth upturns. With every movement, every flinch, my heartbeat picks up.
I quit pretending like I don't know what we're doing,
he says.
I've tried to ease back into this because I think that's what you want. I've slept on that fucking futon in Cord's room with that stupid dog licking me in the face every morning for long enough.
He smirks, cocking a brow.
Baby, I'm coming home. If you don't like it, too damn bad.
Tie.
Don't tie me.
He snickers, walking towards me. With each step, a flutter ripples through my belly.
All this shit will only make us stronger. Like a scar that has healed over. That skin is stronger than the area around it. It's been to war and won. That's us.
My heart skips a beat as he takes my hand.
I won't even bring this up 5 years from now and remind you how silly you were thinking you were going to divorce me. I'm yours, E. You're mine. We're two people that get it right most of the time, but on occasion we fuck up. I'll take full responsibility for causing this, but I'm also taking responsibility for ending it. Honesty, transparency from here on out. But there is a here on out, Elin, because I'm done living without you.
Tears wet my eyes, and I blink them back as quickly as they form. This is it. Do or die. I either accept this and tell him my secret, or I push back. And I know if I choose the latter, that might really be it. It's not that simple, I sniffle, wiping my nose on the sleeve of my shirt.
Yeah, it is.
I shake my head, my hair swishing around my shoulders. Looking into his face, his devilishly handsome features and silky hair, the face I love. I don't know if I can tell him. My heart shatters, the force of it shaking my body, my shoulders slumping forward. My lungs fill and empty of air more quickly than I mean to, and I suddenly can't get enough oxygen despite the rate of my breathing. Ty is touching me in a half a second, brushing my hair off my face and examining me for what's wrong. He'll never see it. You can't see the scars I bear.
What's wrong?
He asks, his voice tender.
Elin, you gotta talk to me.
Lifting my chin, my teeth nearly chattering for fear or anticipation or a mixture of both, I can barely open my mouth to speak. My words are going to slice him, tear him apart, and me all over again.
Ty. My gut is a twisted, tense knot as I watch Elin come to grips with telling me whatever it is that's been on her mind. I knew there was something. I could see it in her eyes when she'd start to laugh at something I said or find herself warming up to me, before remembering whatever this is and scurrying away again. I figured it was that she took another job or broke something of mine when I left. Something small and stupid she thinks I'd be mad about. Right now, watching her go through the hoops of actually telling me, it makes me think this isn't a broken fishing rod or misplaced playbook. Talk to me.
I can't,
she says, the tears flowing steadily down her cheeks. She looks at me through the liquid filling her eyes. The sadness and the fear is palpable. Hey, I say, trying to soothe her. You can talk to me about anything.
Not this.
Especially this, I promise. If something's bothering you this much, this is the thing you need to tell me. Trust me. She doesn't move, doesn't open her mouth, doesn't attempt to spill the secret she's holding safe. I rest my hands on her knees, peering at her. Regardless of what this is, Elin, we can work it out. Tears pool again as her eyes widen.
Ty,
she whispers, choking back a sob. Pulling her head against my chest, I try to tell her with my body that I'm here, that I'm not going anywhere, despite what she has to say. Look, we have to trust each other, lean on each other, and communicate with each other. We're no different than a team. We are a team, I say. If we don't talk, if we sit the bench and refuse to play, we cannot win. And Elin, baby, I say, squeezing her for good measure. If I don't have you, there's nothing to play for. Her cries soften, her back not shaking as badly as before. I should hold her as the moon becomes bright above and the fireflies begin to light up around us. The fireflies are out, I say. Do you remember the time Jiggs caught a bunch and took off the glow part and put it in his hair? I ask. The memory makes me chuckle, and it's not long before I can feel her ease too. The fucker glowed all night. Your brother's such a weirdo. She pulls away and looks up at me in the way someone only can that knows you and your memories, inside out.
I believe you did that too.
She grins, drying her cheeks. I don't remember that.
I'm sure you don't, either from choice or from the whiskey.
She says, all out laughing now. Stroking her cheek, I nearly beam at her turnaround. There's my girl. Her head rests against my palm, and I place my other on the other side. Tilting her to look straight at me, I bend so we're at eye level. She tries to look away, but I won't let her. Holding her head in place, I plant a gentle kiss to the middle of her lips. When I pull back, I see her wheels turning.
I don't know how to tell you this,
she says, rubbing her eyes. Just open your mouth and say it and be done. When she pulls her hands away, the wateriness is back. Her gaze is heavy on mine, like she's trying to tell me without words. I can't look away. Not that I want to, but if I did, I couldn't.
Ty?
She says before her voice breaks and the tears stream again. I don't reach for her, not this time. I'm pinned in place, frozen to the spot on the ground just a foot or so in front of her.
I...
She presses her lips together, her face turning a warm shade of pink.
I was pregnant, and I lost the baby.
Everything stops. Everything except the steady flow of tears down her beautiful pink cheeks, and the drop of my stomach into an abyss. An abyss that's more bottomless than anything I've ever imagined. I'm sure I misheard her. Something about her miscarrying a baby? Does she mean the one we lost a few years ago? Looking into her tear-stained face, I know that's not the case. I think I'm going to be sick. What? I ask, taking a short step back in case I spew my dinner at her feet. What did you say? She doesn't answer me, but she doesn't have to. The pained look on her face, the sadness that is smeared across her features, the devastation I can see plain as day written all over her tells me all I have to know. My hand shakes as I draw it over my eyes, trying to break the numbness settling over me. I... Words are on the tip of my tongue, yet evade me. When? How did I not know this?
I'm sorry,
she says before a full-blown sob breaks the night air. Her cries are muffled as I press her against me, unable to do anything but hold her. Her agony rips from her body and into mine, shredding the fibers of my soul. It's a slow, agonizing torture listening to her grieve for a child I didn't know existed. A life I can't yet bring myself to believe was real.
I called to tell you,
she says into my shirt.
So many times you didn't answer.
My mind spins like a top, trying to grab something to work from. When did you find out?
A few days after you left. I went to the doctor because I thought I was having a nervous breakdown and found out that I had been pregnant.
Coughing back the vomit that creeps up my throat, I squeeze my eyes shut.
I'm sorry.
She cries again, her word as broken as my heart.
I'm so sorry, Ty.
My God, Elin, don't apologize. I scoff, fighting back the first set of tears I've felt since my father passed away. Her hands twist in my shirt, her knuckles pressing into my back. They shake as she unfurls the suffering she's been holding in. Kissing the top of her head, I take a deep breath and try to calm my nerves. I don't know what to say. She places a single kiss to my sternum before letting me go. Her face is streaked with mascara, her lips swollen.
There's nothing for you to say. Nothing you can say. I lost the baby. I'm sorry.
Stop saying you're sorry, I say gruffly, my throat clenching shut. Damn it, Elin. This is not your fault. I pace a circle, my sneakers stomping against the brown grass. I just...